Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the East Connection when we come back. You know, we Americans are the most litigious people in the world, and we believe in our lawyers with a kind of religious fervor, and we've been taught from early childhood that he who represents himself in court has a fool for a client. But what would you say if a plumber said that? What if your plumber said, he who fixes his own pipes has a fool for a client? Or what if your carpenter said, he who fixes his own steps has a fool for a client? Doesn't our common sense tell us that a plumber or a carpenter who couldn't fix his own pipes or his own steps is incompetent? Well, my common sense tells me that a lawyer who can't represent himself has to be just as incompetent as that plumber or that carpenter. Now listen to James Nielsen. He's a professor of law at the Hastings Law School. Here's what he said about these young budding lawyers. He said, quote, "It is a fact that a student can graduate from this, the fourth largest law school in the United States, without ever having written a pleading, a contract, a will, a promissory note, or a deed. It's worse than that," he said. "Most students graduate from this law school without ever having seen a real honest-to-God pleading, a contract, a will, a promissory note, or a deed. And a student can graduate without having set foot in a courtroom, without ever having spoken to or on behalf of a person in need of advice or counsel. And a student can graduate without once being exposed to the operation of the rules of court." Now, whatever else may be said about this license issued by the state bar, let it be said that for these students and for their clients, it is a cruel hoax. Now, that's Professor James Nielsen of the Hastings Law School. If you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. While you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. It's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. That number again, 417-273-4967. Now, courtroom strategy and procedure, our school is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email, send us an email request for your free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about the yeast connection. Out of 450 disease symptoms that you can develop, your doctor, when you go into his office, he may not do this in front of you, but he's going to go into his office and he's going to pick up a book called The Physician's Desk Reference. And he'll look up your symptoms, and then he'll come up with a diagnosis. He'll say, well, let's see, based upon the symptoms that this person has, I'm going to say, he's got schizophrenia, or he's got cancer, or he's got a stroke or heart attack, or whatever the disease symptoms lead him to. Then it'll say, well, when you have these kind of disease symptoms, then here are the range of drugs that are available that we can treat this with. So he writes a prescription, and he says, hey, go on down here to the drugstore, and we'll load you up here with this drug. And sometimes it works. Shucks, after all, the medical profession, you know, they spend, or they're taking in about $1.8 trillion a year. And you people out there don't have any other solution for your aches and pains, and so you go to the doctor, and the doctor comes up with a solution, say, for cancer, 37% of the time. He can actually give you the drugs, like he did Neil Armstrong, you know, that bicyclist, and he survived. Now, 63% of the time, though, you're going to die. Now, that's not very good news. So, other people write books, like this fellow here, his name is William G. Crook, M.D., concerning a malady called the yeast connection. He woke up one day, he's a medical doctor, he woke up one day, he says, I wonder what's causing these symptoms in these various and sundry patients. And so they get to watching people, you know, for a while, and pretty soon they say, these people have a very similar lifestyle, very similar symptoms, very, very similar disease pathogens here. So I wonder if there's a least common denominator. Maybe these people have the same malady. So over time, clinical experience leads these doctors to come to a conclusion. And one of the conclusions is that yeast causes a lot of the symptoms that are recorded in the physician's desk reference. What that tells you is that you walk in and you may have symptoms like, oh, I've got the flu. And they're treating you for the flu, but you really have a yeast infection. Or maybe the symptoms are describing Crohn's disease, but in reality you've got a yeast infection. So they're treating you for 15 other maladies over here that you don't have. And what you do have, they're not treating you for. That's called a missed diagnosis. And that goes on about half the time. Half. If you walk into a doctor and he says that you've got this, 50% of the time he's going to be wrong. This is why they're suggesting to you that you go get a second opinion before you get your gallbladder cut out. That's because half the gallbladders that are being cut out didn't need to be cut out. Half the appendixes that are being cut out didn't need to be cut out. Not that that bothers the average American, because the Americans have all been taught that appendixes and gallbladders and certain other, you know, tonsils and adenoids, certain body parts that you've outgrown, you don't need anymore, so why don't we just cut them out? I always figured that if it's in there, it probably is in there for a reason. Of course, I believe in creation rather than evolution, you know, the miracle of random selection. Now, in Chapter 3, it talks about your immune system. Now, your immune system is your number one battler against disease. It is the cure-all for disease. In fact, if your immune system's working properly, you won't get disease. You won't have any symptoms. Everything's going along fine. Now, as soon as you start developing symptoms, then your immune system isn't working correctly. So, number one, you're having a weakened immune system. You need to build your immune system, and there's a number of ways to do that. But your immune system over here is what cures you. It's not the penicillin. It's your immune system. The penicillin is pretty helpful. And let's suppose that you're overwhelmed by a particular bacteria and you've got pneumonia. And this bacteria is multiplying faster than your immune system can deal with it and kill the bacteria. And so the doctor gives you a shot of penicillin, kills off all these bacteria, and gives your immune system an opportunity to kick in and get ahead of the infection. Now, that makes a lot of sense. And from time to time, I've mentioned this thing of penicillin or antibiotic response. And that Americans take too much of these antibiotics, and these antibiotics actually cause this yeast infection. Now listen to this. Your immune system protects you by automatically recognizing all sorts of enemies. Using many marvelous methods, it neutralizes, conquers, or eliminates these enemies. I call it the miracle of random selection. You know, for evolutionary folks out there. Your immune system is composed of many defenders, including antibodies and different kinds of white blood cells. These protective substances might be compared to the United States Army, Navy, Marines, and Air Force. Fortifications or mechanical barriers, including your skin and mucous membranes, help keep these invaders out. These mucous membranes line the interior cavities and passageways of your body, including your digestive tract, your respiratory tract, your urinary tract, and your eyes. Just below their surface are mucus-secreting glands, which work like plastic squeeze bottles. These glands help protect your delicate membranes by coating them with mucus. And then, when dust, dirt, bacterial, viruses, chemicals, or other substances try to invade or penetrate, the mucus provides a mechanical barrier. It stops it. Your MMs, your mucous membranes, or your MMs, are also coated or painted with many different antibodies, including secretory IgA. That's a special type of gamma globulin, or immunoglobulin, and one of your immune system's important soldiers. Now, when your lining membranes become inflamed, other immunoglobulins, including IgG, are found in the secretion. The surface area of the intestinal membrane is as large as a tennis court, but rather than being a flat, smooth surface, it looks like the coast of Norway. And when yeast germs, toxins, or other enemies, antigens, try to break through your mucous membranes, your defenders, the antibodies, combine with them. The resulting antigen or antibody complexes on the surface of your MMs are known as immune complexes. Now, these yeast germs normally live in your body, and there are friendly germs. Then there are yeast germs, and then there are enemy germs. Now, a few females, or families, I should say, a few families of yeast germs normally live on your mucous membranes, along with billions of friendly germs. Yeasts especially feel at home in the warm, dark recesses of your digestive tract and of your vagina. Unfriendly bacteria, such as viruses, allergens, and other enemies, also find their way into these and other membrane-lined passageways and cavities, including your respiratory tract. But when your immune system is strong, they aren't able to get through into your deeper tissues or bloodstream and make you sick. Now, when yeasts multiply, they weaken your immune system. Now, when you take antibiotics, especially if you take them repeatedly, many of the friendly germs in your body, especially those in your digestive tract, are wiped out. Let me repeat that. When you take these antibiotics, especially if you take them repeatedly, many of the friendly germs in your body, especially those in your digestive tract, are wiped out. These antibiotics kill germs. And then they kill the good germs and the bad germs and the in-between germs and the yeast germs. They just kill everything. And then your body has to build back those friendly germs. Let me give you a quick illustration. The other day I had a calf over here, and he looked like he had the scours. He's sucking on his mama. Now, I've been around for a long time, and calves that suck on their mamas don't get the scours. So I brought the calf into the barn. I said, you know, there's something wrong with this calf. He's kind of listless. He's not full of vigor like he should be. You know, calves, you know, they run around in the field and jump and hoot and holler like kids, you know. And so I brought him in, and we got to look at him over and one thing and another. And you know what's wrong with him? His digestive system isn't working. He probably has a yeast infection, more than likely. So we got to thinking about it and what happened here. Well, his mama got horned by another animal here and got ripped open. So I called the vet, and the vet came out, and he stitched her up. That's why we call her Stitch Butt. And so he stitched her up, but in the process he gave her a shot of penicillin, or you know, antibiotics. You know, they always do. That runs the bill up, whether they need it or not. All we really need here is just to have this cow stitched up. You know, and if you're not skilled like the vet, and you need some stitches here to close this wound, why, you know, you could do it yourself, but, you know, I'm not one of those kind of guys, and so I called the vet. Now, this cow is pregnant, and she's about to have a calf. And so she goes ahead, and she has the calf, and everything's going along fine. 2 months later, this calf turns out that he's got some kind of a problem. Well, guess what his problem is? The antibiotic that was given to the mama goes through into the calf. Now, the calf, when he was born, sucked on his mama and got some colostrum, and he's got the friendly bacteria started in his gut. Everything's going along fine, but pretty soon, because of the residue of this antibiotic, it kills so many of the germs. By the time this calf is about 2 months old, he doesn't have enough of the intestinal flora in his body. So what's the solution? Well, we go get a pint of colostrum that we have frozen and saved. And we take the colostrum back out and we reintroduce the colostrum into the calf's intestine. That'll kill the bad bacteria that will encourage the good bacteria and restore his health. And you do the same thing to the mama. Whenever you've had broad spectrum antibiotics, then you need to reintroduce the good flora in your body. And you do that with colostrum. Now, I've told you a couple of times here on the program about colostrum and what it does. Now, again, I call it the miracle of random selection. Can you imagine how many generations lived and died before they developed colostrum to develop an immune system so that you could live out here in the real world of bacteria and yeasts and molds and spores and so on? Well, you know, you want to thank evolution, you know, for having developed that over this long period of time. But let's start using it. Start using it. And the best way that humans can use it is with bovine colostrum. Now, when you go to the health food store, you're going to pay an arm and a leg to get it, but it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. It's cheaper than medical practice. Doctors, you know, they make a lot of money. And then oftentimes they misdiagnose, well, half the time, 50%. Which means that when you get a misdiagnosis, all the money that you're spending on this medical practice over here is wasted until you can run that course through. Did you ever notice that when you get to the end of the course of a misdiagnosis, the doctor doesn't say, gee, I got that one wrong, let me refund your money. And let's start over again at ground zero. Now, if you take your car in and you say it isn't running right, and the mechanic, he fixes it, and then he gives you your car back, you take it back out on the road, and it still isn't running right, you bring it back and you say, hey, listen, you know, whatever it was you did, didn't fix it. And he says, gosh, I worked 4 hours on it, and that's why I charged you $225, and I put all these new parts on there. And that didn't solve that problem. Didn't solve that mechanical problem. So you bring it back. The mechanic says, well, that's my fault, and therefore I won't charge you for what I'm going to do again. I've never seen a doctor do that. They charge you for the misdiagnosis half the time. And then when you get through with that and it doesn't work, he says, okay, now let's try this. And he charges you for that. And sometimes this can go on 3 or 4 times. Furthermore, sometimes it can go on and on and on, and he never figures out what's wrong with him. And sometimes it's fairly simple. If you just knew that you were dehydrated or you had a yeast infection, you could have solved that problem yourself at home, but you didn't know. Now, I've been through this calf thing a number of times, and I can tell you from experience that when I see a calf that's kind of sickly like that, I say, his immune system isn't working quite up to snub. What do I need to do to boost his immune system? And colostrum is the answer to the riddle, so I give him colostrum, and just miraculously, the little sucker gets better. Now, no point in calling the vet, because, you know, the calf isn't worth the $150 that the vet's going to charge. So he's going to come out and give the calf a shot of penicillin, which is going to exacerbate the problem. and then the calf will probably die. So I don't need to spend $150 to kill the calf. Hell, I can just leave the calf alone, let him go out there and die by himself and save $150. What I'd like to do is to save the calf. So based upon my long clinical experience, I can say, aha, I've had this happen before. And based upon what I've seen in the past, you know, that's where you call the vet and he comes out, you spend $150 and the cow dies anyway. That's why I don't call the vet very often. Because they're always going to shoot him up. And they almost always insist on shooting them up. So, okay, I let them shoot them up, and then I give them some colostrum to neutralize the effect of the shots. And then he sews them up, and then it makes him feel good, and then it makes me feel good, and the calf lives. And the vet gets all the credit. He says, well, how's that cow? How's that calf? Oh, they survived. Yeah. Good thing you called me. They always take the credit and always take the money. All right, let's go on to the next step. When yeast multiply, they put out toxins which circulate through your body. They weaken your defenders and they make you sick. So it's not the yeast that's causing you the problem, it's the toxins that the yeast puts out. It's kind of like this E. coli. E. coli is another germ-like yeast. It's in your body. We all have them. But when they get out of control, this E. coli causes you a problem. Sometimes it kills you. Well, it's not the E. coli that kills you. The E. coli puts out toxins. You get too much E. coli, too much toxin, the toxin kills you. Now, when Delilah cut Samson's hair, he became weak. Well, in a similar manner, yeast weakens. The toxins from the yeast weakens your immune system. And when your immune system loses its strength, you develop many health problems. And then you're apt to feel bad all over and complain of fatigue, headache, depression, nervousness, abdominal pain, and other digestive symptoms. You may develop yeast or fungus infections of the skin and nails or of moist areas or cavities of your body, including especially your vagina. And you may be bothered by allergies of various sorts and become more susceptible to bacteria and viral infections. You may also be troubled by arthritis or multiple sclerosis, psoriasis, or other serious disorders, and show an increased susceptibility to environmental chemicals. Now I'm going to underline this word here, multiple sclerosis. Now, you know, people develop things like Parkinson's disease or muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, and so on. Sometimes these diseases, these maladies, are caused by a nutritional deficiency. And your disease symptoms come from two sources. Either one, you're being poisoned, that's the toxin. Or number two, you're being starved, you don't have enough vitamin B1, or you don't have enough vitamin C, so you develop scurvy. Well, you got 450 of these disease symptoms, and they're all recorded here in the physician's desk reference. So your physician, you know, he looks it up in the desk reference, and it says, well, give him this drug or give him this treatment over here, and it either works or it doesn't. So half the time it works, and half the time it doesn't work. So when it doesn't work over here, we have to go on to plan B, and then plan C, and then plan D. Oftentimes, many people will complain, I've been going to the doctors for years, and they're unable to solve this problem. So that's why I mentioned the last program. Most doctors don't even know about yeast connection. They don't know about this yeast problem. So they go to the physician's desk reference, and they get the symptoms, and they start treating these symptoms, which is the basic problem with allopathic medicine to start with. They're always treating the symptoms, not the problem, not the cause of the problem. What is it that made your immune system go wacko in the first place? All right, so you may be suffering from something like multiple sclerosis. But your multiple sclerosis symptoms over here may be the yeast infection. So your doctor's treating you for multiple sclerosis, and you don't have multiple sclerosis, you got yeast infection. So the treatment for the multiple sclerosis, which you got out of the physician's desk reference, isn't going to solve your problem anyway. But when you get through paying the bill and you come back, you know, 6 months later, and you're, hey, doc, I'm doing everything you're telling me over here, but it's still got the same symptoms. And the doctor says, I guess we got to change your medical regimen. So remember, he thinks you still got multiple sclerosis, and so he says, well, that drug didn't help him, so we'll go on to the next drug. And so you're on the wrong rabbit trail to start with. You ain't never going to get to where you want to go because you're on the wrong trail. You don't have multiple sclerosis to start with. And he could be spending, you know, years treating your multiple sclerosis, and that isn't your problem to start with. Now, this yeast overgrowth weakens your immune system. You're weak. And yet it's only one of many factors. Nutritional deficiencies caused by inadequate intake and or poor absorption of essential amino acids, essential fatty acids, complex carbohydrates, vitamins and minerals also weaken your immune system. So do environmental chemicals. Included among these are home, industrial, and farm chemicals and poisons. Tobacco, lead, cadmium, mercury, and many others. Now, food and inhalant allergies, or a heavy load of environmental molds, also adversely affect your immune system. 20th century diets, which are rich in sugar and yeast, birth control pills, pregnancy, encourage yeast growth. So do hormonal changes during each menstrual cycle. But antibiotic drugs, especially broad-spectrum antibiotics, make yeast grow like grass and weeds after a summer rainy spell. Such drugs destroy the good germs while they're killing the bad ones. Yeasts then multiply. That's what happened to the calf out here. See? Treated the cow with this antibiotic. She didn't get an infection, and her cut healed up. Everything went perfectly, except that the broad-spectrum antibiotic used on the cow went through to the calf. Over time, even though the calf took colostrum when it was first born, 2 months later, the calf developed some symptoms. The calf is tired. He's just not up to snub. And unfortunately, the calf can't explain to me or tell me, you know, what his problem is. I can observe him, though. And from my own personal clinical experience, I can look at him and say, since we just treated his mama here a couple of months ago with antibiotics, I can just about figure what that calf's problem is. So I rush over here and I'm going to build his immune system by reintroducing colostrum back into his gut. And while I'm at it, I'll just do the same thing to the mama cow. Takes 2 pints of colostrum. So every time I have a cow come fresh, she'll give me a gallon of colostrum, and I'll put that into little pint bottles, and I'll stick those pint bottles in the freezer just for such an emergency as this. And this may be what you're suffering from. Now, most of these doctors, they don't know about colostrum because they all go to college. And then they come out of college and they've been taught and trained and educated that anybody that would use something like colostrum is practicing middle-age witchcraft. And so, therefore, they're to be avoided at all costs. So, here in the book, they've got a number of other foods that you can eat beside colostrum. There's a number of things you can do to change your diet. Like you can quit eating pizza. Now, boys and girls, I kind of like pizza. And I really don't want to give up pizza just because I've got yeast infection. So why don't I cure the yeast infection with a shot of colostrum once in a while, and then I can go out here, once my immune system's cranked up again, and go out and eat pizza and chocolate and a few other things. Let me emphasize, in moderation. In moderation, Americans tend to do things, you know, whole hog. You know, if you're going to eat pizza, you know, we got to eat the whole pizza. And then we wonder, God, I can't believe I ate the whole thing as we're sucking down, you know, Alka-Seltzer or Tums or something else. So use a little common sense there. Anyway, especially these broad-spectrum antibiotics, they make the yeast grow like grass and weeds after a summer rainy spell. And although yeasts are found normally in your body, when your immune system is strong, they don't bother you. But when they increase in numbers, toxins are released which weaken your immune system. So you get too much. And this is why once a year, God told you, and that's for you non-evolutionists, God told you to practice the days of unleavened bread. Don't eat leavened bread for 7 days. Don't eat any leavening. Knock all the yeast out for 7 days. I've been doing that for years. I've never had a problem. Now, because of your weakened immune system, the defenders which line the cavities of your body become ineffective. See, you've got these built-in defenders, you know, your mucous membranes and these antigens, you know, out here. But hey, wait a minute. They don't work when your immune system isn't working. It's not putting out enough. It's putting out some, but not enough. It's kind of like your fuel pump. You know, your fuel pump in your car, it's pumping fuel, but it isn't pumping enough. That happened one time. I had a motor home, you know, and it would go about 40 miles an hour. And then when it got up to 40, 45, it cut out and one thing and another. So then it would slow down and get down to 30, 35, and it would run fine. Get up to 40, you know, and it run fine. And 42, 43, 44 miles an hour, and then it'd start cutting out and wasn't running too good, you know. And so, well, you know, you don't even have to be a mechanic to figure out that something ain't right. Maybe you don't know what to do to fix it, but you can tell, as dumb as you are, that dumb as I am, I could figure something wasn't right. So I got to mulling that one over a little bit, and so this guy said, well, have you changed your fuel filter lately? And I said, huh? Fuel filter? And so I went into the auto parts store, and I got a fuel filter, and I came out, and I figured out where it was. And I took the one off, went in, got one, came back out, and put a, hey, solved the problem. Once enough fuel could get through, see, the filter is plugged up. And it was getting some fuel, but it was getting about half enough. And so it's half enough is enough to run at 40 miles an hour, but ain't enough to run at 60. And so it's not running because it isn't getting enough. Well, your body runs the same way, you know. Works the same way. Your immune system, you know, if it's putting out enough antigens and enough stuff over here, you're going to feel great. And if it isn't, well, then you're not going to feel so great. So maybe you need to change the fuel filter. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Get on the right page here. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact desk. And if you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives. That can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org also. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, they're accurate, and they're correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour, an editorial review, gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and we recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend will necessarily reciprocate. That's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, or they may be political or religious or economic or sectarian, racial or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint is not necessarily totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, our sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, remember our website is georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Now, we're reviewing the book, The Yeast Connection, by William G. Crook, M.D. This is an old book. We've had it here in the house. We've used this book all the time. It was first published back in 1983, and it was put out by Professional Books, P.O. Box 3494, Jackson, Tennessee, 38301. Again, that's Professional Books, P.O. Box 3494, Jackson, Tennessee, 34301. I don't know if that address is any good anymore, but the ISBN number is 0-933-478-06-2. Once more, that's ISBN is 0-933-478-06-02. And then the Library of Congress catalog number is 83-62508. Again, Library of Congress catalog number 83-62508. I don't know how many books they published, didn't say here, but you can probably get this book in any health food store. There's lots of books out there on yeast and on various medical topics. We think that this book here called The Yeast Connection by William G. Crook is probably the Bible of the yeast connection or yeast problems. And if you can't find it in your local health food store, then you walk into your used bookstore and you give him these numbers that I just gave you. And you give him the title of the book, The Yeast Connection, and then you give him the author's name. He plugs that into his computer, and he'll find a used copy of that book in a bookstore in Long Beach, California, or maybe in Poughkeepsie, New York. One time I was looking for a book, and it turned up in South Africa. A bookstore in South Africa had one. And then I went ahead and bought it. Now, you can suspect that Candida plays a role in making you sick if you've taken antibiotics for acne, or prolonged or repeated courses of antibiotics for your sinusitis, or bronchitis, or urinary or ear infections, or if you have taken birth control pills, or if you have been pregnant. Pregnancy and birth control pills cause an abnormal yeast growth, or if you've taken cortisone, prednisone, or other corticosteroids, or if your symptoms are aggravated by tobacco smoke. You know, you're sitting there in the living room and your husband lights up a cigar and it makes you sick, or if you're sticking on some perfume, diesel fumes, or other chemical odors. And if you feel tired or lethargic, drained, or depressed. Now, those are pretty common symptoms, you know. My wife says, oh, I feel so lethargic, so tired, you know, or drained or depressed. Or if you're bothered by all sorts of other nervous system symptoms, including poor memory, feelings of unreality, irritability, headache, or inability to concentrate. You know, you get up from the table, walk over to the refrigerator, and you forgot why you went to the refrigerator. you can't remember if you went to, over there to get ketchup or A1 sauce or milk or what it was, and so you go back to the table, you sit down, and then you go to eat, and you look down, you don't have a fork, and so you get up and you walk over to the refrigerator again, and you can't remember whether you came over there to get some mustard or some mayonnaise or some ketchup, and so you go back over and you sit down, and then it dawns on you again that what you need is a fork, and so you get up and go back to the refrigerator. Well, now, it could well be that what you're suffering from here, you know, when you have this this memory, this poor memory problem. You can't remember from the time you get up from the table and walk to the refrigerator that what you needed was a fork. All right, now that's a good symptom, and that kind of tells you that maybe you've got a yeast infection over here. Now, listen to this. What if you're drowsy all the time? You know, you're driving down the road and you get tired and you're sleepy all the time. You know, it could well be that you've got a yeast infection. Or maybe you've got numbness, tingling, and muscle weakness. That could be yeast infection. Or if you've got incoordination, you know, you're walking through the doorway over here and you bang into the side of the door. Or, you know, you're doing something here, you go to get into the car and you put your foot there on the, and then you hit your head on the doorpost, you know, your coordination's not too good. Or you've been troubled by recurrent vaginal yeast infections or other disorders involving the sex organs or urinary system. Or you've got athlete's foot, jock itch, and other fungus infections of your skin, you know. And so, you know, you get jock itch or you've got athlete's foot, and so you go to the drugstore and they give you these preparations. And you put on the preparation and it kills the yeast and the athlete's foot goes away. And you say, wow, that stuff is really great. But as time progresses along, the jock itch or the yeast infection keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. Well, what does that tell you? You know, if you were smoking and you got lung cancer and they cut out your right lung, and you quit smoking for a long time, and then one day you said, gee, those weeds, they tasted pretty good, or they felt pretty good, so you go back to smoking, and you develop lung cancer in your left lung. Now what are you going to do? And some guy says, well, I guess I'll quit smoking. Well, gee, couldn't you have figured that out, you know, when you gave up the right lung? You know, there's a cause and effect relationship here that goes on in life, and you know, if you got any brains at all, unless you're brain dead, you know, you ought to be able to figure that out. You're an adult. I notice the government's running around over here telling us to quit smoking, and they want to pass legislation, stop smoking in bars. Boys and girls, the only reason you go into a bar is to smoke and drink, and pinch the girls on the butt. What other reason would you go into a bar? Now they want to do away with smoking in the bars. I'm not opposed to people that want to smoke. Hell, that's what choice is all about. God himself isn't coming down here slapping you up alongside the head because you're lighting up a Roy Tan, are they? Or is he? I mean, he gave you a brain and said, hey, go out and use it. Now, if you want to use it and drink yourself to death or smoke yourself to death, you know, get after it. I don't know, the girl was in a youth group the other day and came back and they were talking about alcoholism. And one woman got up there and said, well, alcoholism is a disease. No, I've heard that all my life. Alcoholism is a disease. And my daughter got up and she said, no, it isn't a disease. It's a bad choice. You know, it's like drinking Coca-Cola, you know. It's just a bad choice. You should be drinking Pepsi or Mountain Dew or something else. Or maybe instead of drinking that Jack Daniels, maybe you should be drinking more water. I don't know what you should be drinking. That's for you to decide. But, you know, somebody ought to tell you, did anybody ever say to you, you know, that if you're drinking, you know, a couple of shots of whiskey, you know, before breakfast and maybe a couple of three shots, you know, before lunch, and then maybe you're having a couple of martinis, you know, during lunch, and maybe after lunch, you know, you have to have an afternoon picker-upper, and then, you know, when you on your way home, you got to stop for a couple of drinks at the local bar, and then you know, you get home and maybe you got to have a couple of drinks before dinner, and maybe you have to have a bottle of wine, you know, during dinner, and then maybe after dinner you'd like to have a highball or maybe an after dinner drink, and maybe a little liqueur, and maybe a, you know, but this sip 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 all day long's got to stop. You know, you could be developing alcoholism. You know, if you're hiding a bottle, you know, in the toilet tank of the toilet, you know, you're probably well on your way to Alcoholics Anonymous or alcoholism or something. I mean, you can decide what the hell you want to do in life. You can decide whether or not this yeast is a problem to you. If you've got athlete's foot over here, I'd want to know, well, what's causing athlete's foot? Yeah, I put this remedy on here and it cured it. But now I want to know, well, what caused it so I can avoid that and the recurrence of it in the future. Most Americans don't think about stopping the recurrence of this in the future. If they've got something that'll take care of it, they just keep using that athlete's foot. I know my dad had athlete's foot. And he had this special powder. And then he put it on all the time. He always put this powder on because he had this athlete's foot. It never occurred to him to ask, gee, what causes athlete's foot? Because I don't have it. And my mother didn't have it. And his friend Ernie Yates didn't have it. So why did my dad have athlete's foot? Because he had yeast infection. All of his life, he had this yeast infection. And so he thought, well, I've got athlete's foot, so I've got to put athlete's foot medicine on my athlete's foot feet. And so he did that all of his life. Made a lot of money for the Athlete's Foot Association of America and the pharmaceutical companies putting out the athlete's foot powder. And I'm sure it wasn't too expensive. He never went broke doing it. He always put the athlete's foot stuff on, but never cured the athlete's foot. It was always there, always there. Now, if you've been bothered by persistent digestive symptoms such as heartburn, now, you know, instead of taking Tums because you've got heartburn or indigestion or bloating, abdominal pain, gas, constipation, or diarrhea, has it ever occurred to you that, oh my God, maybe I've got yeast infection, and maybe if I was to cut down on that yeast, like I pointed out to you yesterday, I think it was, I said, well, let's see, now you've got this malady over here. Let's see if we can solve the problem instead of treating the symptom. Now, you're bothered by other troublesome symptoms such as pain or swelling of your joints, nasal congestion, recurrent sore throats, and a cough. Hey, listen, you just cough, 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 cough. Okay, well, what's causing this cough? So, we go over here and I got cough drops here, you know, in my drawer. If I'm doing a program and I've got this little hacky cough over here, I've got to solve that problem. At least for 60 minutes, and so I whip out this cough drop, and that suppresses the cough. But, you know, I'm smart enough to figure out that, hey, what's causing this cough? You know, coughing isn't, you know, constant coughing isn't normal. You know, coughing once in a while, you know, clearing your throat or something, that's kind of normal. But, you know, you got this cough, 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 cough. Now, either you got TB, or maybe you've got yeast infection. Here, pain or tightness in your chest, spots in front of your eyes, blurred vision, fluid in your ears, or just feeling lousy. Or maybe your symptoms flare up on damp days or in moldy places. Or when you eat or drink foods which promote yeast growth, like beer, Coca-Cola, and pepperoni pizza. Now, if you're sucking down a beer and you start developing these symptoms, or Coca-Cola. Now, remember that yeast grows in sugar. And so, right away, some guy comes along and he's going to say, well, you got to quit eating sugar. Well, what's going to happen to my diet of peppermint patties and Hershey candy bars? You know, once in a while, I like to splurge. You know, I like to have a pizza. I like to eat a York peppermint patty. I like to live. And so I'm opposed to these guys running around telling everybody they can't smoke. I'm opposed to people who's trying to live my life for me. And I want to decide for myself how I'm going to live. Meanwhile, back on the farm, you know, when I develop too much yeast over here, well, then obviously I need to do something about it. So I thought, let me bring this to your attention, because there are so many symptoms that are caused by something as simple as yeast. I mean, yeast is pretty simple. It's everywhere. It's in the dirt. It's in the air. It's in your bread. It's in your beer. It's in your Coca-Cola. It's in your pizza. It's in your cake. It's in your pies. It's in your bread. It's in everything that's around you. And what the hell are you going to do? Stop living? It's like air, you know. Air is full of oxygen. I need to breathe once in a while. What am I going to do? Quit breathing because there's yeast in the air? I mean, come on, kids. Let's grow up and get real. No, your symptoms flare up on damp days or in moldy places. Well, there's places in your house. In fact, there's a section here in the Bible that talks about mold, black mold. And there's a problem all over America, this black mold that gets into your walls, and then it just grows and grows. And in the scripture, it tells you in some cases it gets so bad that you got to tear the house down. In fact, here in America, there are people especially down here in the South, you know, where it's pretty wet and humid. You get this mold growing in your house. Look what happened down here with Hurricane Katrina. I mean, you got to tear all of the wallboard off your house, get all that insulation out of your house because it's full of water. It develops mold in there. You got to get this mold out of your house. Now, there's ways to do that, and there's ways to kill the mold, but if you've got a moldy place like your basement, I got a basement here in my house. And so here's one of the things I'll pass on to you. In my heat duct, I've got a special ultraviolet light. I think I paid $300 for it. I think I got took. It's probably $39.95, but I paid $300. But it's well worth the $300 because I stick it into the heat duct, see, of the heater. And then I just turn on the blower with this ultraviolet light, and it circulates the air through the house. And the air, as it goes through the house, ultimately comes through the heat duct in the furnace system. You know, at some point in time, the air that's in the house comes through. Now, there's this ultraviolet light, and the ultraviolet light kills these yeast spores. Isn't that just real special? And so I'm constantly killing this yeast that's floating around in the air by simply putting this little gizmo into my air, my heat duct and my heating system. Now, that's just one little thing you can do. You can also get these ultraviolet lights in your what do they call these little boxes you stick around the house? We get about three or four of them here in the house. It's an ultraviolet light, and it's an air purifier. I guess that's the name for it, air purifier. Anyway, it sucks in the air in a particular room. You put this box in this room, and you plug it in, and it just kind of runs. It's got a little fan in it. And it's constantly circulating the air in the room through the box, which has an ultraviolet light in it, which kills the yeast and the mold and spores that are in the air in that room. This is especially important if you're living in the South or where you have high humidity conditions. High humidity. Now, you know, if you're living out here in California or you're living out here in Nevada someplace where you don't have that problem, maybe it's not a big deal, but let me tell you, here in the South it is. Now, identifying this candida problem, do tests help? No, or not much. Here's why. Candida germs live in every person's body, especially on the mucous membranes. Accordingly, your vaginal and other smears and cultures for candida aren't going to help you because that's where they normally grow anyway. Therefore, the diagnosis is suspected from your history, and it's confirmed by your response to treatment. And so here in chapter 6, they have a test. Now, I'm not going to sit here and read you this test. I mean, if you think you might have these symptoms, you need to go buy the book. And in the book, in chapter 6, you're going to have some tests, and it's pretty comprehensive. And in this test section, treating your candida problem, if you have candida problem, how do I get rid of it? You avoid the foods which promote the yeast growth. and you take medication which helps rid your body of yeast germs. And you also need to avoid birth control pills and antibiotics and environmental molds. And so if around your bathtub, I mean, you've got this mold around your bathtub, and you can see this black mold in here, well, what do you do about that? Well, it tells you that if you get this black mold on the bathroom tile over here, well, then obviously you've got a mold problem, and you need to solve that problem. So what you do is you put one of these air purifiers in the bathroom. You put an exhaust fan in the bathroom. And then you use Clorox on that mold that's on the, that's growing there on the wall. And then you kill it off. And if you've got it in your body and it's gotten to a point where it's causing you these symptoms over here, instead of treating multiple sclerosis, you treat mold. That's all. You treat the yeast infection. You also need to take other steps to improve your health. And sometimes your physician may treat you with Candida extract. So maybe you need to start to cut back on your drinking. Maybe you need to quit drinking for a while. So in chapter 6, 7, and 8, they run through some tests over here, and they got questions and answers, and they'll tell you quite a bit. When you get down to the end of the test, if you score up around 300, 350, man, you're just about on your way to the Undertaker. If you're scoring around 250 or, you know, 200, well, you know, you got yeast problem, but you can solve it. If you're scoring down around 60 or 80, you don't have a yeast problem. So, you know, you just take the test and you just answer the questions. When you get to the end of the question section over there, you'll get a score, and they'll tell you what your score is. And instead of spending thousands of dollars treating diseases that are in the physician's desk reference book over here, you'll end up with a little different conclusion. Instead of putting athlete's foot powder in your socks for the rest of your life, you'll recognize and understand, oh, I got athlete's foot. Well then I've got a problem and I need to solve my problem. So let me solve that problem by dealing with the yeast. So let me tell you about the book one more time. It's called The Yeast Connection, and it's written by a guy named William G. Crook. And this is the Bible of The Yeast Connection. Now there's 450 of these symptoms, remember? So you got 450 symptoms here in your physician's desk reference. About 50 of those symptoms, 50 are caused by yeast. It's about 10% in round number. Now remember, you can have other ailments. I mean, you could have something that's really serious. You could have Parkinson's disease or multiple sclerosis. So you may need your doctor. But your doctor, remember, may not have heard about Yeast Connection. So get the book, The Yeast Connection by William G. Crook, M.D. Take the test. Could save you a lot of money. I mean, you can spend thousands of dollars going to the doctor treating you for the wrong stuff. Cost you $30 for one of these books. Take the test, get your score, and I think you can figure it out for yourself. Hey, we're about out of time again, kids, so I'm going to have to remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. Now, if you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.